Go ahead, brother.
Just flip to the next page. Looking at the quantity of studies and the body of evidence, it says 1 to 5, and it asks for total number of studies, not articles. And the question in that regard is, since this is still an evolving and relatively new field and disparities are just being identified in different new technologies, is that really a valid sort of question that you still want to put in for this particular analysis of development of metrics?
Most of this form is for our standard, all of the measures that come forward to us, and the Evidence Task Force recently did some work identifying that at least for now, the approach is to look at quality, quantity, and consistency of the evidence. So they'll weigh all three of those. So at times there may be one very good high quality study, but not a whole lot of volume of studies, and that's okay as long as it's consistent. So I don't know that we need to get into the weeds of all the specifics. We'd be here for days as our committees often are. But it's a good point about disparities, and we can continue.
So I have two that are eager to go, Marshall and Dennis. If we all decide.
Just interject more to Helen's point too. The committee will see the submission form that comes in, and they may see only one study. So I think it's a valid thing to ask, because then you will assess the input and decide for yourself whether that's important, is consistent.
Okay.
And following on Bill's point that, you know, you look at something like, well, diabetes measures, there's tons and tons of studies, and so it's easy to fill out the form. I think like a disparities measurement person looking at this form would say, there's no way in hell I'm going to prove that. It's going to be a lot of blanks or no evidence. And so I'm wondering, does it need to be, well, of course, you know, is that like an absolute? Because if it is, then we're going to get no measures that we're going to be approving. But if there is going to be a lower bar in a sense, then in some ways we have to send that message out that you don't necessarily have to, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, people are going to say you're not right at the right time.
I want to build on both these comments, too, that this is an opportunity to push the field a bit. My sense is it's push and refine the field. You know, I think the field could benefit from this level of specificity, seeing what is required, but at the same time to exclude or to so limit because literature may not be available or, you know, some folks will just throw up their hands, they've got some good ideas. So whether it be part of this process or in addition to this process, it seems it may be worthwhile for us to consider, is there a way to advise NQF in terms of still encouraging some submissions that may not qualify or meet at least the minimum set of criteria, but will at the same time be setting a course, you know, as a collective body of information for where the field needs to go. And I think that's where you'll get into some of these other areas that have not been touched on.
Sure, but this is the steering committee that's going to review those measures. So it's you guys. It's not like you're passing this information on to somebody else. It's actually these measures and the next phase where it comes to you. So you'll have a chance to reflect on all this. We have had discussions about in these sort of emerging measurement areas, can we have some discretion and we can indicate that that's possible. I think the concern has been in some areas that are more clinical, sometimes they may seem emerging in terms of quality measurement, but there's a whole lot of evidence there. This is really emerging in terms of what the evidence base is, which I think is a little different.
Francis and then William?
Yeah, just reiterating what Dennis and Helen just said, I think this touches into that area of the emerging measures, and I think that needs to be kind of highlighted in the upfront call in order to encourage more of these emerging measures. I think this may be a little different than some of the other calls.
Agreed. William?
So I don't know whether each one of the calls for measures comes with an FAQ. But I know they're very useful for program directors in ACGME to have FAQs of almost every statement that we put into a program requirement. So I'm thinking that if there isn't such a vehicle, maybe we should think about doing that so that we enable people who are going to write these things to have additional information and explanation, and maybe also to allow us to justify ourselves and use a certain language that we've talked about already, such as minority or other sorts of phrases and the types of nature of disparities that we're talking about.
Okay, any other comments?
So just to quickly recap, it seems like the group is okay with how disparities is mentioned underneath our importance section. Is that right? Okay.
I would say, I mean, I don't know how this is going to be written, but it says demonstrate a high impact of healthcare. Shouldn't there be a box on disparities? Or, I mean,
again, part of this is you're only seeing this form. There's actually a lot of underlying definitions that go with it that specifically tie high impact to the national quality strategy, of which disparities is front and center. So they're automatically
okay.
in
right,
some way on it.
Thank you.
It actually makes it a bit hard to review, to give you comments when there's so many other layers that we don't see.
I think we're just going to focus on just those elements regarding disparities, which the
I believe, but that's what I'm saying. We don't want to give you superficial comments, and you all are already in the weeds.
Sorry. I just want to follow up on what Marshall said, because I put my card down, but she said exactly what I wanted to say. So what are we going to add some modification of language around the evidence part?
We'll try to write something up, and we'll share it with you.
Thank you.
And lastly, the third section in which we mentioned disparities is under scientific acceptability. So let me give you that. That section starts on page 11, and it's page 14, section 2C-1. And the scientific acceptability is essentially the section that talks about reliability, validity, and provides a lot of the information around testing for the measure. So you see disparities in care. There's two basic questions. If the measure stratifies for disparities and to provide the results for that, and also if disparities have been reported or identified, but the measure is not specified to detect those disparities. So are there any comments first around those two specific questions?
What does that mean, 2C2? It's not specified. I mean, if you look and they're there, so I'm a little bit unclear on that.
Will actually come forward to us with straight up, for example, saying this is the measure, these are the strata you should examine it in. Not many do. So this is really just a point to them, like, okay, you haven't said it should be stratified. Early on, I believe there's also a question about evidence. You may have skipped over that. That there's evidence there are known disparities in this area. Okay, you said there's known evidence of disparities. You haven't presented a measure with strata.
I see.
And we struggle with these questions, but we find we don't get very good answers back, which is why we actually want to get better advice from you guys based on the discussion you've had for the last 2 days. What are the right questions to ask measure developers as they submit measures to us? Whether they're the cross-cutting disparities measures or just any measures that you want to be able to get at the issues you guys talked about yesterday.
Can this form be customized for each steering committee and each activity, or is it you need to stick with one?
It's possible. We've done it for research use when the entire thing just didn't fit into this box at all. We could always add an addendum or whatever we need to do or specify, but yeah. The problem is you're just looking at the paper form. It's actually an online submission tool.
Right.
So
right.
It's not as easy to just kind of like keep changes, whatever, but we can make one.
I think the other thing to keep in mind is that some of what's being identified here can also be fit into the call.
Right.
And, you know, so it's both a give and take. People see the call, and then they call and say, yo, we can't figure out where this fits in your form. And the staff, you know.
I have two comments, one from William and one from Liz. Who else? Oh, I'm sorry, Donna. Oh my goodness. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's talk with Donna. We'll go all the way around the table. Why don't we do that? Donna.
Sure. Just to raise the risk adjustment issue again, then in this section 2B44, then it asks the submitters to justify lack of adjustment. So it seems as if this section, if the form can't be modified, then some instruction should be included.
Okay. Liz, then Grace. Oh, let me see, Romana. You're next, and then Liz.
I'm not sure whether this is a concern, but when I first saw the heading here on scientific acceptability, and I might be wearing my researcher hat right now, but I'm worried that as, you know, as the people who look at this for submitting measures think, see that section, what I'm wondering is whether we need to have language, because, you know, I saw that, and the first thing that jumps to mind, and maybe because it's just because I've been having these conversations, is I think about scientific acceptability. I start thinking about randomized controlled trials. There aren't very many. There's a lot of pre-post. There are a lot of comparison groups. There's, you know, seeing improvement within the same group. So I don't know whether we need to, you know, again, in terms of our language and what our expectations are in this particular section, because as soon as I saw that, I started to think, oh, would somebody see this and think, you know, we don't fall into that bucket because...
Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, it's actually scientific acceptability of the measurement property.
Right, so maybe we should... Thing. Right, no, I that's what I mean, though. Yeah. I'm just talking about kind of what jumped out at me initially. So if that's the kind of intent, then I think we need to make sure that that is right there.
Liz and then Grace.
So I'm wondering if GC1 should be... present stratified results based on our conversation, and then instead of if measured as stratified, and then say if not stratified, justify why. I mean, sometimes people may not stratify because the groups are too small. So maybe the gold standard should be to stratify, and then they have to justify why they're not.
Yeah. Good suggestion. William, and then Sean, didn't you have your thought? You change your mind? Kind of confused. William, go ahead.
I don't understand the actual value of 2C2. And I would just eliminate it from our particular talk for this because the measures that we're trying to call for are ones that are specifically designed to detect disparities. Is that not correct?
Good point. Other comments?
One question.
Great.
And I may have missed it, but after the NSUAP reviews all of the, you know, the 700, who, and let's say you come up with hopefully just 30 or 40, who's going to be filling out the form for those measures and clinical submitting them? Or
yeah, I think they've already been
involved. Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, okay. And then I'm sorry, more questions. So how is that going to be express so that people won't submit duplicate to those? Is that going to be shared at when you release the call? Here's what we're thinking of already.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I think that as part of the call, we ask people to review what's already endorsed in NQF portfolio. So that's sort of SOP,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then staff would understand, which is not to stop someone from
resubmitting,
but
sure. But yeah, you're still on my, like, I would not want to go through 700 standards
mm-hmm.
to figure out which ones I should. So if you already know down a list, you can say, here are the ones that were
right.
That relate to disparities,
right.
Right, to make it easier.
I think that at the end of the day, folks make their decision to submit or not submit based on, you know, sort of the face value of the
mm-hmm.
call. Because the fact of the matter is we're not going to be able to winnow down the 700 to and release that list. First, you all have to review that
mm-hmm.
in time
okay.
for the call to occur.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments?
This is all on profile.
Okay. Sure.
Actually, I'm a little bit confused on that last statement about the requirements for resubmission of measures. So if I have any one of the HEDIS measures, for example, could resubmit for disparity sensitivity, is then the change in that measure in the sense that there would be then required to have a stratification of that measure?
No, there would be no requirement to resubmit a measure for disparity sensitivity, although I think it does bring up the question, I think Ernie raised this yesterday, of whether we need to actually, as part of the submission, indicate those criteria we're actually listing out for disparity sensitivity.
I get the sense that if we don't put some parameters around everybody, we simply use that measure to say we can be categorized as
a. I mean, I think what the call would indicate is that measures that have already been endorsed are already being reviewed, so it's not that they have to resubmit it.
Okay.
If there's a HEDIS measure that didn't get endorsed, you know, and has never been submitted, then yes,
yeah,
that would have to be submitted.
Yeah. Okay, other questions? Comments?
One more consideration for you. I mean, you guys are also steeped in disparities. You think about this a lot. Think about measures and, you know, this kind of forum going to the renal committee that's meeting in a couple of weeks at AQF. What would you want to make sure they have that they're going to want to get the information from that'll kind of raise some flags for them? Part of the issue is it's not always going to be folks who are pretty steeped in disparities.
Mm-hmm.
They'll oftentimes be clinicians, evidence-based citizen folks, statisticians, no offense, Sean, who have this sort of bigger picture of the measurement side that may not bring the disparities lens to the table. That's kind of what we're hoping to get, to see if there's something else we should ask here that would be useful. And I thought there was a question on evidence-based as well, isn't there?
What do you get in practice?
What's an example of what you're thinking about?
The question would be, we just had a committee that reviewed all the ESRD measures. So a whole slew of ESRD measures they reviewed, some they took, some they didn't like. But there was not a whole lot of discussion through the course of the steering committee that said, boy, we know these are areas where there are known disparities. Which of these measures should be stratified? So part of this is to sort of get into their thinking as they're prospectively reviewing measures. How do they think about the disparities piece? And so, you know, we've had minimal questions here to date. They haven't been terribly useful, except when a measure is now up for maintenance, where we have been making it very clear you can't resubmit a measure to us for additional endorsement without that stratified data at your 3-year point. But particularly for new measures that are coming to us, what would you want the committee to know about that measure or consider about the populations for whom the measure is important?
Comments? Do you want to respond to that, Sean?
No, I wasn't responding. Well, I mean, maybe I would
just, you had the name tag.
I did.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess I would agree in my past experiences, what you put on the form probably has a lot to do with what you get in the submission, and you can, I don't know, I would maybe think about taking this form and having somebody take a really go at going through it and having a customized version of it. I mean, there's some that's in here, has to be in here because there's basically previous NQF work that's established a framework and things need to fit into that framework. But my experience helping people fill out these forms and actually looking at them as a reviewer is you can try to make things fit into an existing form if you have to, but that leads to people who are confused about, well, how does this sentence here really fit in this context? And the more you have that's confusing to the people who are submitting the measures, it's not going to do us any good. And so it may seem like too much detail to spend more time on this, but it's this upfront work of trying to really figure out what needs to be asked and revising it, I think, would pay off.
Mr. Francis and then Roman.
Yeah, since this area may be quite new to many people, and because disparities reduction, you know, is such an emerging concept by itself, and as we've been talking about the last couple of days, and as all we know, I'm just wondering, for example, could the Harvard commission a paper, at some point within the public domain, could that be linked to this call so that people can kind of read the background about what this is all about and understand where we're coming from and what the priorities are, being here, racial, ethnic, minorities, and language. That's kind of, I mean, even because I think the more we can specify this, in a reasoned way and provide the background rationales and all of this, it will reduce, hopefully, it will help the submitters, because they'll know more precisely what we're looking for and our thinking, and also it will help us, the reviewers, because it will have better submissions and more with more information and so on to help us figure things out, because otherwise it will be kind of garbage in, garbage out, I'm afraid.
Romana and then Mary?
Helen, I wanted to ask you about kind of, so you use the end-stage renal disease as the example. So basically what I'm trying to understand is what are they going to get? Let's just take that example through. So will that committee, for example, provide measures for us? I'm trying to understand where in the process we are trying to inform them, because that is very hazy to me.
Okay, good. I think I'm just too inside of baseball. And maybe
it's because they're having like people like us from that committee,
right,
or people like Mom on this committee.
Right, exactly. And they are a blend of all of you, and we actually do try to make sure there's as far as expertise around the table. I think the idea would be that it wouldn't come back to you per se, but the idea would be, what do you want every single committee at NQF to look at, regardless of the topic area, whether it's cross-cutting care coordination, whether it's ESRD or heart disease or palliative care or perinatal care in the coming year? What do you want every single one of those committees, as they're reviewing these measures, to think about, to want to know from the measure developers about, is there evidence of disparities in this given area, provide a stratified data? It's just really kind of high-level thinking that you want to make sure they all at least go through that process. As much as they look at reliability, they look at validity. Should they, again, it's the point we tried to make with the NHQR and the DR, that we've put the same quality measures of the DR intentionally to make the case we weren't marginalizing disparities. I think the question is, how do you make it front and center in what they're doing in a way that makes sense?
So, Mike, can I follow up? So
follow up, and then we have Mary and then Donna.
So I guess my question then is this the document, what those committees are, the documents that they get,
is this form,
is this
and
form.
They evaluate the measures based on this form and our criteria.
Okay, so I like the idea of attaching the report, but that's, it's a 100-plus page report.
Well, maybe the executive summary.
The executive summary might. But I also think how we frame this up front is going to be, is really going to drive that. I mean, really setting that stage in that up front, the front end piece of this document. So we are, I think you said, we are going to all get a chance to review that and comment on it, right?
I do believe.
Okay.
So Mary, Donna, then Liz.
So part of the answer, I think, in relationship to ESRD and any other disease process is the question, is there a differential that should be considered that may be attributed to race, ethnicity, et cetera? So when you look at ESRD, is there something in this packet that says, have we considered whether the person should be a transplant candidate? Yes, no. Have we considered whether or not they have a satisfactory English proficiency to be a satisfactory candidate for transplant? Yes, no. So what is it that guides us to believe that no matter the area, we have asked that critical question, that there has not been automatic or reflexive exclusion based on race, ethnicity.
Okay, so Donna, Liz, Ernest, and Colette.
So along those lines, to address Helen's question on the importance, the demonstrated high impact aspect of healthcare, maybe that's a place to specifically clarify that it could affect large numbers of minorities. So, for example, if you had a very small, numerically small minority population that was disproportionately affected by a certain condition that did not affect the overall population, that may not necessarily qualify the way the form is currently written.
My comments really brief. Following up what Ramona said about the executive summary, I actually found the executive summary, I didn't understand it until I read the report. So it would just have to be a little bit more fleshed out, actually. I think it would be extremely useful. It just needs a little work, and we can give them feedback on that if that would be helpful.
Donna?
Okay. It seems to me that this is actually a moderate change in the NQF processes to introduce this new disparities concept, and I think I'm concerned that the way disparity is currently spread out all across the form, it's not going to get a lot of focus. And if this is important enough, you're going to give them this executive summary for a new review methodology, that you might want to pull up the disparities piece out as a separate section that someone's going to formally review it for consideration for disparities.
I guess my question is, do we feel as if this area is important enough that I don't know what the language would be that would be used, but if it actually fell into the NQF conditions section, that sends a message loud and clear of the importance of that, and it goes across the board for the committees who are reviewing measures and for the people filling out the form, that you have to have thought about this before you do any type of submission. And it may be that whatever you're submitting may or may not have something that's disparities related, but you have to have done some analysis to answer that question.
Lucer?
Yeah, I actually have a question. Maybe this is for the group, but it's in response to Helen's question in terms of what would we like to be present in all of these documents on these metrics. And my question is, can anyone think of a surrogate marker for a disparity that would allow you to detect it? You know, a measure of all the things that we're doing, that if you see it there, then this is a marker that there's a disparity. Because it's a pretty complicated field with a lot of different parts, but if there was some signal or clue that it's there that we could measure easily, then that would be very, very helpful. And I don't know, we have a lot of thinkers around the table, so get some of you thought about it.
Notable that I don't see a whole lot of cards. It would be on your questions, just there, just that. There you go, Sean.
No, I'm not giving an answer, just follow the question. Do we have a definition of disparity that we're using?
I assume that we do.
The ILM.
Okay, so ILM has that part in it that it has that are not related to access. I mean, one of the things that it
right.
includes is access-related factors. Is that really consistent with what everyone here is thinking?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Liz? Oh, Liz and then Mary? Go ahead.
I actually noted that too, the access, and I was wondering why that was, because maybe everyone has access to healthcare, but there are other forms of access within the healthcare system.
Right.
So I'm wondering if we want to think about how we want to define that.
That's a good point. Marion, did I want to see if anybody has an answer for Luther?
And so I'm going to take a stab at it. Is it that the answer is always retrospective and in the unequal outcome?
He's not moved.
I think that would be in retrospect. So I think that the, you know, something that would allow us to detect it prospectively, because once it's there, I think that this group will be clear that it's there. But it's a thought. It may not exist, but if it did, it could simplify.
I agree.
A lot of what we're
if it did exist, it would simplify. Romana?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question. Maybe
is
I'm
there sorry. A hemoglobin A1C for diabetes? Like, is there something comparable for, if I understand you correctly, it's oversimplistic, but that's sort of the gist of it. Is there a marker?
Mortality. But that's, you can't measure. I mean.
Right. I mean, it's you have a lot of thinkers around this table, and I don't feel, like I said, it's,
I mean, I definitely don't think there's one.
Okay.
Just because, I mean, I think one of the the conversations that we're having shows, I mean,
right.
is evident of that, and also the fact that it's so multifactorial. That
correct.
The underlying causes of disparities are so multifactorial.
Agreed. Any other comments?
It took me a while sort of for this to stick in my head, but now I see what Helen keeps on getting. She's been subtly bringing this up throughout the meeting about this point about how can we influence the other committees. So I wonder if we can spend a little bit more time talking about it. Maybe give a little more context, Helen, in terms of our brainstorming, because this is actually probably as important, if not more, than what we're doing in terms of how it's going to actually disseminate across against the overall measures.
Right. So maybe I'll give an example which actually might help. So cardiovascular disease, long history of known disparities. That is, half of us in the room have written about the disparities in cardiovascular disease, I think. And yet, you know, these measures all come to the committee. They reviewed 65 measures, all the current cardiovascular measures in inpatient, outpatient, nursing homes, everywhere, all together in one bucket. And, you know, if you look at what comes in, nothing was really heavily stratified or there wasn't a strong orientation to disparities. And it really came down to the chair of the committee, Ray Gibbons, who's the chair of cardiology at Mayo, who just said, stop. Half these forms that are measures that have been endorsed for 3 years have no data on disparities. Disparities is a well-known area in cardiovascular disease. I will not review these measures until somebody gets me some stratified data. And I'm like, in the back of the room. You know, the question is, how do we kind of put it front and center? Really, I mean, I think Ernie's absolutely right. If this is a sea change, and we are trying to make people think about this for all measures prospectively going forward, what do you want them to think about? What do you want to make sure they put front and center as they review any quality measure as it relates to disparity populations? So that you can, and I think the point here would be, if these measures then get picked up by CMS or others, as they frequently do, for all these various accountability functions, do we ultimately start pushing to making sure that that stratified information becomes part of that public reporting? I think it's a path towards, I think, where many of us would like to go, and I'm trying to think about what steps we take on our end to help push that.
I mean, briefly, if I could provide you with the model of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, various committees have business plans where they ask the board for money, but all those plans have to go through our diversity advisory board, and they have a checklist of 3 questions. Is there an effect on diversity or healthcare disparities? I mean, does it involve healthcare disparities? And if it does, how does it? If it doesn't, no. So my point to you is, all of our business plans go through our committee, so maybe a sort of a forum or a way to sort of review all these measures. And I don't know how many measures go through the NQF, but there's probably a few dozen, 3 dozen business plans that go through the American Academy that our committee reviews. So just a thought, just a different model.
Thank you. Edward?
I was just going to say, just to echo what you've already said, which is that when other disease-specific groups look at measures that they have, that they are requiring themselves, that they look at data on whether or not disparities exist, that'd be the one thing. And the second thing that I would add is, you know, this is a theme that has come up again and again, is will this measure have a disproportionate effect on institutions that disproportionately care for disparity populations? I think that there are frequently unintended consequences on disparities via effects on disparity serving or institutions that serve disparate populations or populations with disparities. So those are the 2 questions, or that would be the 2 hurdles I would ask them to jump over.
I was actually thinking that's where Norman was headed when he was getting ready to speak, when he was before he spoke. Because then I'd only add to Edward's comment that not just institutions, but providers of information of all types who would be adversely impacted by this particular standard when you're invoking a new metric.
Mary? Then Marshall?
Then Liz. I got it down now.
Iteration is to make it a non-optional opt-out rather than opt-in. So that could solve the problem. And very stringent criteria to meet in opting out.
Marshall, then Liz.
Some of this is brainstorming, but I mean, some of these people already said, so if there is a separate section called disparities, maybe it's a preamble, you know, disparities or equity is a critical component of all the quality efforts. The stratification of the measures, the existing measures. There's also an issue in terms of this, the documentation, but then there's also thinking about, are there measures which help you elucidate mechanism, I guess? And so potentially asking about, well, do you have measures that
I mean, most of them will be measures that document disparage per se in terms of the process or the outcome, but something about which of your measures help us understand the underlying causes of the disparities, or somehow sort of getting at that angle. So that's a little bit different. Yeah.
Okay. Elizabeth, or did you?
Yeah, so to follow up on this conversation that Bill and Edward were having, I think it depends on how we're talking about using these measures. Because, again, we talked about how should these measures be used. If we're actually going to use them to actually provide more resources to people to see if we can they can reduce disparities, it's not penalizing them. It's actually identifying a problem that we're going to help solve. So I think it all also lies in, following up on Marsh's side, I mean, it's good to see can we look at what are some of the root causes, but also is there a way to actually, you know, not see this as penalizing people or punitive, excuse me. That's the word I'm looking for.
Romana?
So, Marshall, are you basically saying that we should really focus on asking for not just the documentation of, you know, there's a disparity in this process measure or disparities in this outcome, but asking for kind of what the underlying, potential underlying cause of the disparity, the reason for the disparity, not just the documentation?
No, I probably misspoke.
Yeah.
It's probably, I meant maybe it's probably mostly like a process measure that helps you understand etiology. So, example like, it's not a great example, but like this is a care coordination process measure that helps understand why, you know, follow up this poor ESRD visit or something like that, or. So, trying to get them to look beyond the usual suspects in terms of measures. And again, this is all sort of, I can't articulate it well, but I think it's just a different angle than probably like most of the measures are already there.
Elizabeth, do you still have something to say? No? Okay. Anyone else? Any other comments?
So I just had one follow-up to Sean and Liz were both talking about the IOM definition.
Mm-hmm.
So we might just need language around specifying when we talk about access, it's sort of, you know, the IOM I think is referring sort of access to a healthcare system, and maybe we're thinking about access within the healthcare system around some of the measures that the gaps such as language access. So it's probably important because I think there are many people who might see if we're using the IOM definition and automatically, again, step away. And so just maybe a preposition definition to say that access within healthcare and give an example might be helpful.
Okay. I think that was a point well taken in terms of the access part of the IOM definition. Nicole, next up?
Yeah.
She didn't think we could do it, either way. The record
show. I had confidence. I thought we would go until 2. I thought we would go until 2, though, but it's 5 after 12, so kudos to the group and our co-chair here. So we are on next steps. So there are several documents, as you can imagine, that we are going to pass by the committee. So I wanted to first review that. And these specific pieces we will be circulating to you in the very near future. First is a summary of the meeting, so minutes from our meeting here. The NQF staff will produce a document that describes the protocol that the committee has suggested we use for reviewing the 700-plus measures in our current portfolio. We will also provide a document that has some conclusions and recommendations around the methodological issues. There were several recommendations the committee made around that, suggestions around changing terms and some wordsmithing, so that will be a document we will send you. The draft call for measures, you will receive that, as well as our approach for how we're handling disparities moving forward. And there is some thinking that we have to do on our side in terms of the changes that we'll be able to make to the form for our current call for measures that will happen pretty soon versus changes that may be a little bit longer term moving forward. So we will discuss that a little bit internally, but certainly bring that back to the group for review. So just to recap for the timeline purposes, the next time we meet in person as a group will be when we review measures for consideration. Between now and that time, there will be a few conference calls that will obviously take place. We certainly want to get your review on several of these documents, and we'll assess if it's needed maybe to have a conference call to discuss any topics in particular. One thing that did come out that might be helpful for the group is including a very brief webinar, maybe 30 minutes to an hour, around the work that's happening with MAP and the National Priorities Partnership, and MAP is the Measure Applications Partnership. I know there's definitely a lot of crossover between their work and what we're doing here, so I thought maybe a short webinar to capture where those goals and efforts align and overlap might be helpful as a contextual information for the group. I will obviously be in contact, as well as the other staff will be in contact with the group for setting up the additional conference calls that may follow. Anything else? And with reviewing the documents, I did want to mention that I know you guys are very busy, but I just wanted to emphasize the importance of reviewing these documents. All of our materials and our work is public, and so we definitely want to make sure that we are really capturing the committee's intent, what you have mentioned. So it is important that you review these documents and really make sure that we're on the right path, because it will be public and we will get comments. good and bad comments, but I just want to emphasize that to the group. And finally, I want to thank our co-chairs, Denise and Dennis, who have steered us on these past few days to accomplish our goals and to end early, which is always a plus. So thank you to the co-chairs. And if there are any additional questions, sure.
I just have one last question. So I'm curious as to who submits these measures. Like, who does it and what are their motivations? I'm just curious. It's pretty complicated.
It's a very complicated process. We tend to, there are a large set of large measure developers, the Joint Commissions, NCQAs of the world, CMSs, contractors, but then you'd be surprised. There's a lot of leading health systems, for example, Minnesota Community Measurement, Health Partners, partners increasingly in Boston is submitting measures. So that's why I think we don't realize you may have measures that you've been using in your internal systems, which is actually some pretty good data, that oftentimes those are great ones to submit. They don't have to come out of the ARC, sorry, I didn't say about ARC, of course not. Again, at the points both, Lucia and Norman raised about, especially societies are also very involved in submitting measures to us.
Can we propose measures as members of the committee?
You can. You'd have to recuse yourself from that review, obviously. But yeah, you can. Yeah.
No, but that also brings up an important point, that if you are aware of measures that are out there or developers who are working on measures, certainly mention to them obviously this work, or feel free to provide us with that information so that we can follow up accordingly.
And I believe you've had maybe a request for contact information, so that'll be coming.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. There was a request made to circulate contact information to the group, so if folks are comfortable with that, we can circulate that information. Okay.
And I really would like to see the work that she talked about earlier about
the language barrier.
I got it.
Carolina.
You got, yeah, Carolina, did you get it? I don't think it went to the whole committee for
okay.
some reason.
All right.
But I did.
If somebody
so you did
forward
get
it to me, that would be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
You do have the travel expense form, I think, was recirculated to the group, so you have that. And finally, lunch is available out in the hall, so feel free to grab and go or stay and chat. Okay.
Thank
you, guys.
All. Thank you very much.
I'm living.
Yeah.